This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football. We're looking back at a loss this last week against the New York Giants and looking ahead to a game against the division rival Minnesota Vikings. To help me do that, as he does every Wednesday on the show, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us. Nathan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, Brian?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. I want to kick off our conversation by talking about Scott Tolzien. And I think I see a lot of negative reaction on social media, and I guess I should probably expect negative reaction on social media. I should know better. But I think people see the five interceptions, you know, the three last week against the Giants, the two the week before that, and they think that Scott Tolzien needs to be replaced, whether it's by Matt Flynn or whoever. But I know he's played better than the numbers indicate. Tell me, Nathan, what has Scott Tolzien been doing well? Please help me justify this.
Yeah, he did have his three interceptions last week, but those were basically the only three bad throws that he threw throughout the game. He was really good on deep passes. He completed all four of his attempts where the ball was in the air at least 20 yards for 151 yards, and you rarely see someone perfect on that many throws throwing deep. On the week, he was the second most accurate quarterback in the league with an accuracy percentage of 83.9%. He had 10 incompletions in the game, but two of them were spikes, two of them were drop passes, and one he was hit while he threw the ball. And in all of those cases, you can't expect a completion there because of the situation. So really, those three interceptions were basically the only thing that he did wrong in this game. And when you look statistically trying to predict the future, looking at someone's accuracy percentage can better predict future interceptions than someone's actual interception rate. So seeing how accurate Tolzien was in general, I would expect that interception rate to really go down in the upcoming weeks.
That's interesting. You can predict interception rate by their completion percentage. That's what you said?
I went with accuracy percentage, but looking at their completion percentage also, it does adjust as well as looking at their interception percentage.
Very interesting. Well, I'm glad we got a little bit of a silver lining here, because I know Scott Tolzien hasn't been perfect. He hasn't been Aaron Rodgers, but very few are. So I'm glad to hear there's kind of some positivity here and hope for the future. With the Packers' running game, though, Nathan, they got very few rushing yards last week. And, heck, if you take away the run by John Kuhn at the very last or second-to-last play of the game, right around the end, and then there's a couple scrambles by Tolzien, I mean, they did practically nothing. But what's to blame? Is it because the Giants committed so many defenders to the box? Was the blocking to blame by the offensive line? Did the running backs and Eddie Lacy do a poor job? Why so few rushing yards?
It was really a combination of everything you just said. The Giants used eight men in the box a little bit more than the Packers are used to. So when it came to running down the middle, there was more people than typically would be there. So that was one part of it. Another part was the Packers just weren't good at blocking in this game, especially the offensive tackles and the tight ends. So in the past, part of the Packers' success has been running to the outside, but they really weren't able to do this because the defensive ends and linebackers got the best of the tackles and tight ends in terms of blocking. And then another part was Lacy himself. Even though the blocking really hasn't been all that great in previous games, the guards have typically been good, but everyone else has a little bit of problems here and there. Lacy has been able to get out of that because in the four games prior to the Giants game, Lacy had 25 players miss tackles on him. So he's been really elusive in those other games, where in this one, he only had one player miss a tackle on him. what some of that might be just due to how soon he was getting contacted. But Lacy, in the past, has been able to make more players miss tackles on him. And then another part is also just Lacy didn't have as many attempts as he usually does. He's been having over 22 attempts per game over the previous six games. And in this one, he had nearly half that many attempts. He only had 14.
Kind of sticking with the theme of the poor blocking here. If you ask me, Marshall Newhouse has played subpar football for the past three consecutive weeks, basically ever since he's been kind of saw his role kind of increase because of injuries. But tell me, Nathan, just how poorly has Marshall Newhouse played?
Sure, I agree with you that he hasn't played well recently, especially in this one. As I said, he had some poor run blocking, but he was also not good in pass protection either. He allowed two hits and four hurries, which was the worst pass block rating of, or which led to the worst pass block rating of any offensive tackle this week. So it doesn't look good for Newhouse. Obviously, you have to call the rest of the Packers' offensive line is healthy. I think you should go to the bench, or if Sherrod is ready for action, I could also see Sherrod replacing Newhouse if there's still injuries involved. But one thing I did find interesting that might be some reason for hope for Newhouse if he is needed to play in the future is that in 2011, Newhouse's worst game of the season was against the Giants. And then looking at 2012, his worst game again was against the Giants. So it looks like Newhouse just has a really big problem facing the Giants, where his two games prior weren't quite as bad as this one. So I would expect Newhouse, if he is needed in the future, to play a little bit better than he did in this game.
We're talking with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Turning our attention to the defensive side of the football, Nathan, I think there was a lot of attention on defensive lineman B.J. Raji this past week, reportedly turning down an offer of $8 million per year on average from the Packers via a contract extension. And it sure didn't seem like to me he did much on Sunday to prove he deserves that kind of money, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I would not offer Raji a contract for $8 million a year based on this last game, or really based on how well he's played this season. I know he hasn't been in as many pass rushing situations this year as compared to previous years, but he has yet to get a sack this year. He has yet to have a game where he's had more than two pressures. Only once he's gotten two pressures in a game, the rest has been one or none, including this past game where it was just one hurry. In terms of run defense, he was successfully blocked a few times and didn't really do anything positive in the run game to make up for that. He has a run stop percentage of 5.1%, which is in the bottom third of the league for players who play predominantly 3-4 defensive end, which is more where Raji's been this year. So throughout his time with the Packers, he's had streaks of being a really good run defense player or streaks of being a really good pass rusher, but he's never been able to put it all together for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I know. I looked it up a few weeks ago. His last sack came in 2011, some like week 12 of 2011. We're going on two seasons without a sack from Raji. Not that he rushes the passer a lot, but you'd think he'd get there by accident once in a while. But anyway, Nathan, please tell me, did Clay Matthews do any better in going from that club cast to a fiberglass cast this last week?
Yeah, he definitely had a better game than this one. Basically, last week was all bad, where this week was a mix of good and bad. He did, on the very first play of the game, he contributed to a tackle for a loss, which was great. He brought a lot more pressure. He had a sack and four hurries, which a total of five pressures is the most he's had off season. And he also added a pass down, so that also contributes to how successful he was. He did have a little bit of problems with receivers after they caught the ball. He had two missed tackles and was also a cause for defensive holding at one point. So while he had a little bit of trouble in the past game, he also had a number of good plays. So overall, that's a lot better than last week, where he had no pressure.
from outside linebacker to inside linebacker, even though he had three tackles for a loss on Sunday, it seems to me that Brad Jones hasn't been the same player since coming back from his hamstring injury at midseason. Would you agree with that? What's your assessment of Brad Jones?
Yeah, I would agree that over these past few games, he hasn't lived up to playing as well as he used to. Especially last week against Philadelphia was a poor performance by him. But in this game against the Giants, I think he performed just as good as we typically used to see him play. He had two tackles for losses in the run game, as well as a couple more tackles for either no gain or short gain. A lot of that was in the pass game where he also had a sack in there. He did have a missed tackle and a few plays in the run game where he either helped the running back eventually get tackled by someone else, or he was successfully blocked in the run game, so there was some positive and negative there. That wasn't really a part of making the tackle. But where his value really has been over these past 2 years is consistently having decent games, and I would say this is a decent game, and as long as he can string more games together like this, then we'll see the same Brad Jones that we saw before. We just weren't seeing it prior to this Giants game.
Yeah, I did think it was a tale of two halves. I think he had a poor first half, but really made up for it in the second half of last week's game against the Giants when he played a whole lot better. We talked about a lot of negative today, I think, but Nathan, Tremont Williams probably had one of his best games in quite some time. I know a lot of fans get frustrated with Williams. Do you think it's just because of the lack of interceptions prior to this last game when he had one against Eli Manning?
I think part of it's the lack of interceptions and as well as lack of passes defended this year. I think part of the problem is also when he's had a mistake, it's been for a big play recently. He allowed two touchdowns the previous 2 weeks compared to allowing two touchdowns all of last year. So that's also something where, especially with cornerbacks, we tend to remember the bad things more than the good things because it's just the nature of the position. And then I think another factor is just he hasn't been able to duplicate how well he did in the Super Bowl season, and any time a player doesn't reach the level that he was at previously, we view that as a problem. So I think all of that factors into Williams' perception this year. But really, in this game, he did a really good job. He did allow 5 for 7 passes thrown his way to be caught, but he did a great job of stopping the offensive player right after they caught the ball. And a lot of times that was for barely any gain, or once was a tackle for a loss, 3 more were tackles for short gains. So even though you look at that catch rate allowed and it looks like a big amount, when you tackle the receiver for barely any yards, that's just as successful as in, or nearly as successful as an incomplete pass. So, plus he had his interception in there. So overall, that was a really good game for him.
This week, the Packers take on the Vikings, the second meeting this season for the Packers and the Vikings. Can you give us an update on how the Vikings are doing, including, of course, an obligatory update on wide receiver Greg Jennings, the former Packer?
The Vikings have looked a little bit better since the Packers last played them, but not a whole lot better. When you look at their offense, it looks like a fairly good offense, except for the fact that their quarterback play has held them back the entire season. So the Packers on defense might have a little bit of trouble with Adrian Peterson. Peterson's done a little bit better since he last played the Packers, but if they can stop Peterson, they should be fine on defense. Greg Jennings did have a decent game against the Cowboys, had a handful of catches there, but the Packers, as long as their cornerbacks are healthy, have a bit of a better secondary than the Cowboys do. The Cowboys' secondary has been more of a mess than the Packers have this season. Then the Packers, or the Vikings on defense, haven't looked good at all. Their secondary, no one really has been able to step up. So as long as Tolzien is as accurate as he was this past game, and the Packers, even if they have a conservative game plan, they should have no problem scoring points against the Vikings defense. They have a little bit of a threat of a pass rush, but the Packers did a good enough job stopping that pass rush last game, and I don't see any reason why that should be different this time around.
Well, hopefully the Packers come away with a victory and stay alive in the playoff chase in the NFC. We'll talk to you about the Packers and the Vikings again next week, Nathan, and thanks for joining us once again on Railbird Central.
Yep, thanks for having me again. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here on the show. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well on the show. Let's continue our discussion. And today, on a Wednesday, for the first day of on-field preparations for the Minnesota Vikings beginning today, on this occasion, I want to tell you why I'm still hopeful about this Green Bay Packers team. And it's tough to be hopeful right now after three losses. It's tough to be hopeful with Aaron Rodgers on the sideline and no really clear direction, no really clear answer when he's going to return. It's a constant questioning for Aaron Rodgers. He made several media appearances this week, and they're probably not going to stop today on Wednesday. He appeared on the television show Packers Live on Monday with host Larry McCarron, where he talked about his injury and his return. He had his weekly radio show yesterday and the ESPN radio affiliates in Wisconsin. And of course, he was asked about his return. It's basically Aaron Rodgers is saying that, you know, he's not going to return until he's healthy. And I mean, that's all he can say, really. He's hoping for the best. He's hoping for the best case scenario, hoping that broken collarbone will heal, he can return to the field soon, but they just can't risk putting him out there if it's not healed, because all of a sudden, if it breaks again and it's displaced, then he's out for the year. I mean, so that's a risk he and the Packers are not going to want to take. So there's really no clear timeline. We know he's not going to play against the Vikings. Mike McCarthy has already said Scott Tolzien's going to start. But, you know, what can he come back in time for the, of course, this game against the Lions is huge. The Packers' next game on Thanksgiving, I mean, just being a Thanksgiving Day nationally televised game alone is big. But, you know, on top of that being, you know, for a game for between a team that's, you know, going for first place in the NFC North division and the Packers trying to stay alive, I mean, the implications are huge. Or is it after that Rodgers comes back for the Falcons game? Talking December now. We'll see when he comes back. So it's, you know, it's hard to stay positive about that. But here's why I'm positive is that the Packers, they've been dealing with injury issues all season. But I think they've probably turned a corner in terms of health, or at least they'll turn a corner when Aaron Rodgers returns. If they could just get by this week with against a Vikings team that is not very good, if they can get by without him for this week, there's a lot to be positive about, especially when Aaron Rodgers returns, because they've dealt with so many injury issues this season. But I think they're turning a corner. I mean, remember when they had lost James Jones for a period of a few games? You know, he's kind of come back now. He's been back for a few weeks, but, you know, it's been a slow return for James Jones. He hasn't really made much of an impact since coming back from that knee injury early in the season. But I think you're seeing to get him better every week. And you saw him with the long catch. What was it, 45 yards this past week against the Giants? You're seeing glimmers of hope. You're seeing him get a little bit better. So he's getting better. He's getting more healthy. One of the better players on the team. They really need help on the defensive side of the football. The Packers need Nick Perry healthy like nobody's business, if you ask me. They really need, he was really starting to come on. Of course, that's just typical, right? And just as fate would have it, you know, that all of a sudden Nick Perry was starting to have things click. And, you know, then he goes and breaks his foot a few weeks ago, hasn't played since, or what? Yeah, he actually did play one since and has come out again. It's kind of been on and off with him. It's been really tough for Nick Perry. But, you know, I think he'll be coming back soon. And when they do, you know, that means less of having to have Mike Neal on the field and especially Nate Palmer. That's been disappointing. And, you know, I don't know how much you can expect out of a sixth-round draft choice, but Nate Palmer has provided nothing for the Packers this season. And, you know, he's definitely got to be off the field, more so than Mike Neal. But to have Clay Matthews back there next to Nick Perry, and Clay Matthews, we talked about it with Nathan Yonke. Clay Matthews went 2 weeks ago in the game against the Eagles with that club cast on his hand, did next to nothing. I mean, he might as well have sat out the game and might as well have Nate Palmer out there, because Clay Matthews didn't do anything. But to go from that to the fiberglass cast, you saw that his thumb was immobilized, but he was able to use his fingers. And I think it'll probably stay that way for a few weeks, but hopefully he'll be able to, it'll just get better and better as time goes on. And he's able to use that hand a little bit, and he made an impact in this past game. So I think, you know, that club cast is off. He's back. Clay Matthews is only going to get better. Hopefully he's getting more pressure on the quarterback and getting more sacks. You know, you get that. Hopefully Don Barclay is ready to come back on the offensive line. We talked about that with Nathan Yonke, how poorly Marshall Newhouse has played. If they can get him out of the game and Don Barclay back there, the offense is going to operate better. There's going to be better protection on the offensive line when they pass. There's going to be more production for the running game, I believe, at least compared to Marshall Newhouse being out there. So you know, as I talk about all of these things, I think there's hope. There's hope that the Packers are going to get better here. And not only that, and you kind of forget almost a little bit that Randall Cobb is on the short-term injured reserve. And he's going to come back in December. Yeah, we're still not going to see him for a few weeks left, as he's kind of dealing with his own injury issues there to his knee. But, Randall Cobb is going to come back at some point in mid-December. I think the first game he's eligible to play. I shouldn't say this is a given. There's no given Randall Cobb will come back, but I'm hopeful he will. I'm hopeful he will. That I think it's the Cowboys game is the first game he's eligible to come back. And you know, once they have him, that's another good receiving target. So I mean, you know, talk about all these guys getting them back healthy. James Jones, Nick Perry, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when I talk about these guys, they're all, you know, high-round draft choices who are coming back and coming back to help the Packers. And I think that's the silver lining here, that it's tough to see right now just because the Packers are mired in this three-game losing streak and on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. But when they get all these guys back and they just got to stay afloat this week, if they can stay afloat this week against the Vikings, a game they should win even without Aaron Rodgers, that they can win without Aaron Rodgers at home at Lambeau Field, then that's setting up for a streak the rest of the season. And the Packers are going to have to go on a winning streak. But again, I take you back to the Super Bowl season in 2010. It didn't look good in 2010. You remember the last two games of the year, the Packers had to win their Week 16 and Week 17 games to even qualify for the playoffs. They had to win them. They couldn't afford a loss in either of them. So when they won Week 16 and Week 17, they qualified for the playoffs. This number six seed, the last seed in the NFC. So they had to play a road game. They, of course, didn't get a bye. They didn't even get a home game at Lambeau Field. But they got into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, and then they went on a tear. They not only had to win the last two regular season games, they had to win every game of the playoffs on the road to qualify for the Super Bowl, and they do it. They go to Philadelphia in the wild card round, and they win. They go to the number one seed Atlanta Falcons in the divisional round, and they win. They go to Chicago in the NFC Championship game, and they win. And then they qualify for the Super Bowl. Of course, neutral site field, but go to the Super Bowl and they win. Four straight games away from Lambeau Field in the playoffs to win the Super Bowl. Six straight must-win games all in a row, including the regular season. I think this team is capable of that if they have the pieces in place. I think they can go on a run like that if they are healthy, if they have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, if they have a healthy Clay Matthews, if they have a healthy Randall Cobb, if they have a healthy Nick Perry. And it's looking like the Packers are going to get that. They're going to get that in these next few weeks. It's not happening this week, especially Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb. They're gone. But if they can just win this week, and they should at home. They should at home against the Vikings. Then it's setting themselves up. They're going to have to go on a long streak, and they can probably maybe only afford one more loss the rest of the season. But it's very possible that this team can do that and is capable of that. Is it going to be easy? No. I'm very aware of that. Am I guaranteeing it? No. I'm not guaranteeing the Packers go on a six-game winning streak to end the season here. But this team has the talent in the correct positions, especially at quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers is out there leading this team, then they have a chance to go and go on a streak here and qualify for the playoffs. If it happens, it's going to be just like the Super Bowl season in 2010. Packers aren't going to get any byes. They're not going to get home field advantage. They'd be lucky to get a home game, and maybe they will if they can win the NFC North. But, I mean, that's getting ahead of ourselves right now. That's getting ahead of ourselves. The Packers just have to concentrate on winning week to week, starting this week against the Vikings, and it's there for the taking. It's going to have to be with Scott Tolzien. We talked about Nathan Jahnke with the silver lining with Scott Tolzien. He's completing a high percentage of his passes. The interceptions to me are forgivable. In fact, a few of them, I almost credit the defense. Incredible defensive plays, like that interception by John Beeson. You know, more than I blame Scott Tolzien. I do blame Scott Tolzien, but that was an incredible defensive effort. And I do blame the play calling. I blame Mike McCarthy for that tight end pass to the flats that the Giants defense and Jason Pierre-Paul saw coming. That they admit they saw coming, that it kind of, you know, they had an idea just based upon, film, watching the film against the Packers and knowing what they do and what they're liable to do. So Scott Tolzien's just got to learn from those this week. And what a better opportunity than to face the Vikings secondary that is so bad. You know, if there's a week Scott Tolzien's going to go off, this is it. This is it. In fact, I picked up Scott Tolzien for my fantasy football team. I'm almost considering starting him, although I do have Tom Brady as the other quarterback on my team, and it's tough for me to put him on the bench. In fact, their upcoming game is against the Denver Broncos. I think that'll just be a shootout, perhaps, so I'm kind of hoping that'll be the case, but regardless, Scott Tolzien, if there's ever an opportunity for him to break out and have a good game, it's against this poor Vikings secondary and defense that he's very capable of picking apart. And I mean, I hope the Packers' run game works well. I hope they work well in tandem, that they're taking pressure off one another. The running game is opening up the pass game, or heck, vice versa. What doesn't matter to me. But it's very possible the Packers could find themselves in that sort of situation this week against the Vikings. Hopefully they come away with a victory. We'll look more closely into that game on Friday's edition of Railbird Central when we have our Vikings primer episode. So please join us again 2 days from now as we have a show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us then. That's it for today. Join us all week long for your Packers news needs here at CheeseheadTV.com. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Texas Town by Honky Tonk Home Slice on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.